live on the phone line. Follow him on Twitter at MarkAnderson65. He covers UNLV Athletics for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He's been all over this Marcus Arroyo story, and he did not go with crazy stories and sources that did not exist, so he only went with sources that did. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well, Ed. How you doing?
Good. Well, let's go. You know, it seemed early in the process, you can take us through it, that she was going young in coordinator, that, you know, like with the Patino in basketball, for whatever reason, either she doesn't want to go with guys with baggage or big names, and that's her prerogative as the AD. She's making the hire, so this is on her, and we'll see how he does, much like Osleberger. We've tried to find out a lot about Marcus Arroyo. He's a Mountain West guy, played in the Mountain West, but I don't know if this is going to move the needle across the city today when everyone hears Marcus Arroyo. What were your feelings as you saw the process of how she would go?
Yeah, and I don't think she cares about that.
Yep.
Her Desiree Reed-Francois' eyes on the big picture. Feeling is, if the coach wins, then that's what's ultimately going to do it, no matter what happens in the introductory press conference. So, she followed her hiring philosophy. I mean, this is what she's done in other hires. She's looked for someone more on the rise than someone who's already been there. And I think she feels that's the kind of coach to go with, because she believes that coach has the energy and the enthusiasm necessary, whereas a coach who's been there may not necessarily have it. And I think that probably depends on whatever particular coach you're dealing with, but that's kind of my guess and why she likes to go that direction.
Well, then let's compare and contrast maybe the Marcus Arroyo hire with the T.J. Otzelberger hire, the young and up-and-coming coach who just needs another platform and another level to gain success at. Do you find like this is the college basketball version of what T.J.O. is?
Yeah, it's very, very similar. It really is. It's the same type of coach. I mean, the difference is T.J. Otzelberger was a head coach, and Marcus Arroyo hasn't been a head coach. But very similar. I think also in both programs, it's not going to be a one-year rebuild. You're obviously seeing that in basketball right now, that Heat and Osleberger just doesn't have the players right now. And you would think they'd have a better team next season, but you don't really know until it happens. And I think you're going to see something similar play out in football, where it's probably going to take more than just one year, maybe take a couple of years to really start to see this thing turn for sure, because there's they have some good pieces, but they just don't have enough of them, and that defense is something that just needs to be improved, and and decisions have to be made at quarterback, whether Kenyon O'Brien's the one for the future or whether they need to go get someone else.
Is this guy a ball coach? Because when I heard that quote, I was hoping for Steve Spurrier. Come on now. Is Marcus Arroyo coach?
Yeah, having Spurrier would have been great.
Oh, for us, it would have been the greatest in the world. You think he's a ball coach? I don't really know what that means. He's a ball coach. I mean, he's 39. He played quarterback. He actually was an interim play caller for a year with the Buccaneers with Jeff Tedford. That's interesting. I think you've probably heard the same things. There are people up in Oregon who liked him. There are people up in Oregon who didn't like him. And yet, I think we have to do more research there, because at Oregon, if you're not scoring 100 points a game and gaining 900 yards, they're not happy with you because of what happened with Chip and that offense and all of that. How do you think, here's the thing, and what's his biggest, he has the facilities now, there's no excuses there. What's his biggest challenge? Because you and I both know, as much as I think you and I both agree, Tony improved the ability on that team, you are not walking into a locker room with Oregon talent. And that's where I think he really needs to prove it here now. You don't have Oregon talent at UNLV. I'm sorry, you just don't. And you probably never will in terms of your whole team. So is his biggest challenge finding someone who can stop the ball defensively? Is his biggest challenge recruiting? What is his biggest challenge?
Yeah, I think recruiting is the main priority. And like I said, UNLV does have some good pieces. I think Kenyon O'Brien does have the potential to be a quarterback and build around. But they just didn't have enough of them. The defense showed signs. They played well, but they were so inconsistent. And they really need to beef up the talent. And I know the coaches in the past have gone for the high school route and tried to do it that way. I'd be interesting to see what he does if he decides that we're going to bring in some JC guys and 4-year transfer guys and try for a much more quick turnaround. So I think, because that's what some John Robinson did when he was here. He went more for the older players, and you saw the bounce in his second year when they went 8-5. So it'd be interesting to see if that's the approach here, or if he does what the most recent coaches have done and tries to build more slowly. I think I think especially with the Fertitta complex and the new stadium, I think there's going to be more pressure to do it quicker, where fans will going to want to see some progress faster than maybe they would have seen out of previous coaches. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he goes for some older players in these recruiting classes.
Mark Anderson is here with us. He covers Rebel football as well as Rebel basketball for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. You can follow him on Twitter, as I'm sure you have been, at MarkAnderson65, keeping us up to date on the coaching search. Marcus Arroyo looks as though it now is official as the confirmed head football coach. Announcement is now. We'll find out more about the press conference later. But what do you think the expectations are for wins and losses, at least in that first year when you got Cal, Louisiana Tech, Arizona State, and Iowa State on the docket?
Yeah, I no matter who Desiree Reed-Francois would have hired, the new coach is going to have a hard time with that schedule. It's going to be a really tough start. And then if you start 0-3, 0-4, then you get this, fans stopping, not giving you as much a look as you would like.
Oh, yeah.
And then the players, you got to keep them up, and it's going to be really hard, and I think next season is going to be tough. And I can see them finishing with 3 or 4 wins, five if things go well. I think it's going to be more about what are they going to look like in year two, and that, a lot of that's going to come back to recruiting. If fans can see that he's bringing in some really good players who down the road are really going to develop, then I think that will kind of show people it's going in the right direction.
Are you guys suggesting this is not a win now program? Come on!
Not quite a win now program, no.
Really? Not quite? Darn it! Is that quote going to be at the press conference? Are they going to bypass that one? Anyway, Marcus Arroyo is the new UNLV football coach. Mark Anderson's with us on the line. He's reported all the angles. 13 recruits are out there. They are committed. I know you've talked to a lot of them. If I'm an offensive guy, I'm excited. This guy's at Oregon. All of a sudden, you have to say the Oregon offense, the swoosh, the Nike. They do a lot of crazy stuff. So if I'm an offensive guy, I don't know if I'm a defensive guy how excited I am. So how do you think these recruits are going to respond to Marcus Arroyo being the coach?
Well, maybe it depends on who his defense coordinator is. That's probably what it's going to be. If he names someone that kind of gets their attention, then they probably will be pretty excited. So that's going to be probably his biggest hire on his staff, is who's his defensive coordinator, because whoever he brings in as his OC, you got to fear Arroyo's going to have a big hand in the offense anyway. So that's someone I'm really interested to see who he picks.
We were talking about it early in the first hour, regardless of who is named. I mean, we're glad to have Arroyo part of it, but why do you think that the coaching search never involved maybe a former name coach, perhaps a Jim Mora Jr.?
I think it goes back to what I said earlier, just that doesn't fit her hiring philosophy. I think she feels like if someone was at a big time program and maybe didn't work out, what's to say that's going to work out at UNLV? And I don't think she buys into the argument that a big name will get everyone excited to the point where it turns the program. So I think it's just a philosophy thing.
Why did you think the other names did not pan out, and how seriously were they considered?
You mean Jay Gruden or Mora?
Well, I was thinking more in part to Mac Canada, Aranda, those guys were the up and coming assistants as well, former Broyles finalists. Were they actually made serious offers, or was that just a rumor?
And that's I'll piggyback on Clay. That's a great point by Clay. And I'm guessing here, Mark, you can help me out. I'm guessing Marcus Arroyo fits the salary structure as well.
I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
He does, much more so. Aranda makes $2.5 million, and I just can't see UNLV being able to pay him. That was all agent driven on Aranda. The agent's trying to. I don't know what the agent's goal is. Whether it's to make things better at LSU or maybe set him up for something else. But the agent was trying to get Aranda out there. And this isn't the first time this has happened with Aranda.
Yeah.
I was told to not buy too much into what was happening with Aranda, even though national outlets were picking it up, I'm glad I followed that advice, because it really turned out to be nothing to it.
Pops Ramirez just texted, and he believes Arroyo should go after Aranda for defensive coordinator. Is well, there another Haram out there not making $2.5 million who can be the defensive coordinator and they can finally stop someone? Yeah, Haram. What if they? Hey, it's Marcus. You want to be my DC? Can you? You know, we have a really new, shiny new building. Well, we're at LSU. We have roller coasters and amusement parks. I can't.
We're going to the playoffs. Yeah.
Well, Mark, what did you overall for Arroyo? What would you gauge as far as like his terms and for how long on a contract?
My guess is it'll be a 5-year contract. That's usually the standard. I'm guessing. He'll get a. He's making $825 at Oregon, so my guess is he'll probably make around $1 million, and then they will want to have money for his assistants. I know that's important to Desiree Refrancois, that they have a good amount of money look for his assistants. I know it's important for Arroyo too, because it doesn't matter what kind of head coach you are, if you don't have a staff around you, you're just not going to get it done.
You also, Brandon, had a good point that I tweeted out. This is interesting. Marcus Arroyo's agent is Derek Carr's agent.
That's right.
That's interesting. Well, I mean, people still think it's up in the air if Derek Carr is going to be in Vegas. But if he is here to have the same agent, you've learned a lot, I think, in the last few years with these weird sources, weird stories and agents. And look, I know how agents work. I know what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to pump up their guys. They're supposed to get their guys' jobs. Did it become harder and harder for you, for who you should believe, though? Because, again, we go to Aranda's agent, and I want the guy's agent. The guy's gotten them raises from $500,000 to $2.5 million, so obviously he's a good agent. But, you know, talking to these guys, what's been your sense now of all you've learned with the TJ job and now this job and all the others you've covered about these guys, and who really can you believe? Because, AP said that Aranda got an offer. We know that's untrue, but everyone saw AP did it, so suddenly, obviously, everyone had sources on Twitter. I don't really believe it. I think they just read the AP story and used that as a source. What have you learned in trying to get through these coaching searches and not believe everything you hear from people?
Well, that's the thing. The hardest part with these searches is trying to figure out what is the truth. And it's a process, and you got to figure, you know, especially when you are initially dealing with certain agents, I think you're both feeling each other out with how much you can trust each other, because the agent is telling you stuff, and some of it they don't want out there, and they want to see if you're going to put it out there or not, and whether they can really trust you with real good stuff, and you're trying to figure out with those agents how much you can trust them and what they're telling you is true, and so it's definitely a process. It's not something that happens immediately, and you know, throughout this process, I learned which ones I could trust and maybe what may not be true. And I worked with a handful of agents during this search. It wasn't just one agent. I worked with a handful of agents who all had some pretty decent knowledge of this, and they weren't my only sources, but they helped, and so they all were pretty straight with me, and what they told me turned out to be true, but like I said, they weren't my only sources. I had sources elsewhere too, and so it was sources from different areas, but that's just part of reporting too. That's something you do if you're a reporter. That's, you're always trying to figure out which sources you can trust and which ones you can't, and that's just part of the process.
Well, Mark, we appreciate your time, man. We know you've been following the story very closely, like a hound dog out on his trail. I'm sure you'd love this to be over now, because you had two coaching searches in an 8-month span. There's nothing like a good UNLV coaching search, right?
No, well, there was one year I had an AD search and then a football coaching search in December.
Wow.
So that was pretty busy, and of course, nothing will top the Chris Beard's year. So that's the all timer.
Follow him on Twitter at MarkAnderson65. Go to work now, brother, because I'm sure there's a lot you need to learn about Marcus Arroyo, like everyone else. Thanks, Mark.
All right, thanks for having me on. Talk to you later.
There he is, MarkAnderson65 on Twitter. Learn what you can about Marcus Arroyo. I would assume the pressers in a few days. Like I said, those football press conferences are pomp and circumstance, and they need some few days to blow up the balloons and streamers and welcome him aboard.
Well, you got to get like the Starship Enterprise to bring him in if you brought TJO.
Yeah, what's this guy coming in? If Osliver comes in a helicopter, what's this Arroyo kid coming in? I'll tell you what, the NFR's out there. What if they bring this kid on a horse?
Oh, that's what
if this
do.
Kid, like, he should actually come in on a horse into the Mendenhall Center? Because we were, you and I were thinking about this. Now, we'll know soon, but the NFR is in town through Saturday, and the NFR pretty much owns that place out there when they're there. I would think, though, the Mendenhall basketball team still has to practice, right? They still have to practice. I would think that's the one area that the athletics are still involved with. So maybe you, like, walk this kid in on a horse into the Mendenhall Center.
No, a bull. You have to have a bull. You have to have a gigantic Brahma bull.
And he'd be holding on as this bull kept bucking. You'd have the strap on the bull, and you'd see if – and if Arroyo can hang on for 8 seconds, we'll have to say he's the greatest hire in the history of the universe. But if he's off in 4.2, I'm worried about the kid. He's not going to move the needle
very
much.
You need 8 seconds, man, to be a coach
here.
Yeah,
if you're going to be – Well, it's Patino 9, though, right?
With Karen Cyphers and Chris Beard beating Louisville last night.
Karen Cyphers. Well, that's right. Chris Beard outbeat number one teams.
We'll take a break here. We'll get your thoughts on this as we'll be joined soon by Attorney Sam Inesh.
This report is brought to you by Managed Pay, your local source for HR assistance and more. ManagedPay.com.
No accidents to report at this time. There is a normal slow and go in the Spaghetti Bowl. Highs today right around 57 degrees.